Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
Well, good morning, Crossroads. Happy December. I'm so glad that you're here, and we are kicking off a new series. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at the prophet Isaiah and the words that he spoke, the names that he gave us for our coming Savior, Jesus. And we're going to look at how those words describe the character, who Jesus is, the impact that it has on our lives, that Jesus is each one of these names. And I would absolutely love it. I would love it if you and I could rekindle the wonder. The wonder that we had maybe when we were kids at those first Christmases, the wonders that we had for Jesus when we first decided to follow him, that it could just be rekindled in our life. Because we all need a little bit more wonder, don't we? This past week, my one sister sent me this Amazon commercial. Perhaps you've already saw it. Three ladies, perhaps a little bit in the prime of their life, watching kids go sledding and remembering the wonder that they had, the joy that they had in those sled rides. And with a purchase of some seat cushions for their bums and helmets for their head, they go at it again. And it is that joy awakened. It is that wonder reawakened. This is a beautiful thing. Here's my prayer for you. Here's what I would love to see happen for you. May you remember that Jesus is our wonderful counselor. He has your best interest at heart. His plans are always perfect. His ways are not always what you would expect, but they are always gracious and good, full of delight and surprise. May the gift of wonder be reawakened in your life. And isn't it true that it's just so easy to lose the wonder? The wonder of Christmas, the wonder of life, even the wonder of Jesus. Life gets busy or complicated, or there's hardship and pain, and we allow some circumstances that are happening in our world or in our relationships or in our life to steal the joy that Jesus wants to give us, to steal the wonder that we once had. We lose focus. Now, the prophet Isaiah, about 700 years before the birth of Jesus, he said these words to talk about the coming Messiah, to prophesy what was going to happen. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The names that describe Jesus, characteristic traits of Jesus, and what that looks like in our lives, who Jesus wants to be for us and do for us with him. And these words were spoken 700 years before Jesus was born, in a time of great unrest, in a time of war, in a time of darkness over Israel. And not a lot has changed in the past 2,700 years. The world still has all of its problems and issues, but Jesus is at work bringing light into darkness. And Isaiah said, you know, things are about to change. Things are about to be different. There's no need to be hopeless. There is hope coming our way. And the more that we understand that Jesus is a light and he's bringing light into a dark world, the easier it is for us to partner with him, to see him at work, to see the good that he's doing, to understand what Isaiah was prophesying. Just a few verses earlier, the prophet Isaiah said it like this: "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." And Jesus fulfilled this Old Testament prophecy, a promise of good news in hard times, a promise of light in the darkness. The light of the world has come, and because of that, you and I no longer have to fear the dark. We no longer have to walk in the dark. We can walk in the light of Jesus. And this is huge. I don't want you to miss this. This is sort of a footnote for the entire series of where we are going. Because you might be sitting here and there's just a lot going on in your life. And you're like, "Doug, don't ask me to do one more thing. I just can't. I can't do one more thing." And here's the good news for you. Jesus has already done it all. He's already brought light into the world. Jesus transformed the world 2,000 years ago, and he's transforming the world today. And it doesn't depend on you or I. Jesus will partner with us. He'll partner with somebody else. But it doesn't depend on you and I. And you don't have to do one more thing. There's not one more thing you have to do to make Christmas perfect. You don't have to shop for those great gifts. You don't have to go to those parties. You don't have to travel across the country to visit family. You don't have to have that beautifully decorated home. There's not one more thing that you have to do to make Christmas absolutely perfect. Jesus has done it all. God guts this. He transformed the world. He brought light into darkness 2,000 years ago, and he's continually doing it today. And it doesn't depend on you and I at all. It's already been done, and it's already happening. But I think the beauty of God, the beauty of how our Heavenly Father operates, is that he gives you and I opportunities. Do we want to partner with him? Do we want to see where he's at work bringing light into darkness? And he gives us those opportunities to join him in doing the work that he loves to do. It was a little bit, just about a month ago, finished up Harvest Celebration, jumped on an airplane and headed to Peru to be with Compassion. And this was my third scheduled Compassion trip. Dominican Republic got canceled, Nicaragua got canceled. Finally got to go to Peru. And the whole purpose was to see Compassion in action. There's so much I already know about Compassion. You know about Compassion. But just to see how we, a local church, partner with local churches around the world. And if you don't know what Compassion is all about, Compassion is all about this. Compassion is breaking people out of poverty in Jesus' name. Breaking children out of poverty in Jesus' name. That is what they do over and over and over. Well, we made it to headquarters in Lima and had all these presentations, got to see the booklets of what Compassion does and how they do it, saw files on each, we could look at files on children, see how it's all organized, saw like the systems and structures of how things worked at the headquarters. And I want you to note this survival benefit. I snapped this quick picture because I want you to understand what that's all about, because that might be one you're not as familiar with. Because Compassion partners with pregnant moms through the first year, through birth, and then through the first year of a child's life. Here's some stats that you might be aware of, some things on motherhood. Every year, 2.6 million babies in poverty don't survive the first 28 days. Approximately 830 women die each day from complications resulting from pregnancy or childbirth. And almost 99% of maternal and 90% of neonatal mortalities occur in the developing world in areas of extreme poverty. Does that sound like darkness to you? And I think the thing is, sometimes we get exposed to darkness or we see darkness and it feels so overwhelming. Like, what can I do? What can you do? What can we do? But instead of focusing on the darkness, we can focus on what God's already doing and how we can partner with him in to bringing light into the darkness. This past Wednesday in our small group, we're still on that Surprise the World series and learning Jesus. And one of our participants, he's great at always reading the book, highlighting and sharing things. And he shared this quote from the book. It's, "What would Jesus want me or us to think, be, and do here and now?" And he's speaking those words. I'm like, oh man, that's it. That is how we partner with Jesus in bringing light into darkness. By asking that question, whenever we're exposed to the hardships of life, or whenever we see relationships crumbling, whenever we see darkness in another part of the world, we just simply ask that question over and over in our prayer with Jesus. What would you want me to do, to think, to be in the here and now? It's a great way to bring light into darkness. We flew from Lima to Piura, northern Peru. And we were going to do 3 church visits, 3 compassion center visits, and then 3 home visits. And I don't know what you're like, but sometimes we hear those words, extreme poverty, and we don't really get a picture. We can't really begin to wrap our heads around what that looks like. And it's overwhelming as you're driving in these areas, because it is thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people living in extreme poverty. And this was our first home visit. And this home was in far better shape. It was newer than many of the other ones. And if you go inside of that house, you get a picture of what it's like. This is the kitchen, 1 propane stove, no electricity, no cushioned furniture, dirt floors, 1 slightly separated bedroom. And through interpreters, we get to interact and talk with the people of the house and get to hear a little bit about their life and what is going on. And this home's fortunate. They have 1 plastic tube coming through the ground that offers them water. Now, no bathroom, no commode, no shower, no sinks. There's 1 community porta potty, and this couple was fortunate in the fact that both sets of parents are within. It's a little bit of a distance, but they can actually walk to a place where they can get a shower once a week. And as we're talking through and just experiencing and asking what their life is like, the mom and her child are part of that survivor benefit. And just a side note, for those of you that from the Compassion Christmas Tree and previous years have bought chickens, you're like, I wonder what happens to those chickens. That's the chickens. This is the chicken coop. Provides food in an emergency. They can sell a chicken to be able to cover that cost. But this mom and her son got to explain what it's like to be part of that survival program. The compassion reps that come in early to provide prenatal vitamins and be able to talk and equip the mom, late teenager, what it's like to be a mother, to provide those essentials of clean water and food. And then they actually have a presence there during child birth to make sure it is a safe delivery. And then they continue to partner, continue to check in for the coming year, the first year of this child's life, to make sure all was going well, to make sure the basic needs are met, because her husband, just barely able to find random jobs here and there, can't provide for the most basic needs. It was our third home visit. We met with another mom and her daughter, once again, the beneficiaries of this survival program. This mother in tears explained how she had lost child after child after child. And then compassion and their survival benefit came through and joined with her, and then she was holding her delightfully beautiful young baby girl. And you hear the difference, the impact it can make, where Jesus followers like you and I, churches like you and I, partnering with churches on the other side of the globe to bring light into darkness. And every year here at Crossroads, if you've been a part, we sort of pick three bundles where we together can give towards to provide, to meet some area of need, to put light in the darkness. And one of those bundles this year is that bring babies to their first birthday. Because it's just this incredible survival rate, what happens with compassion. 92% of newborns are in the normal weight range. 95% are born at full term. It's huge, the difference that just a little bit of light can make. Second church, second compassion center we went to, had a computer lab. This is not a real picture from that. We were told over and over, lead with your face, not with your phone. Lead with your face, not with your phone. I was obedient, and I missed out on a lot of pictures I wish I had. This compassion center had a computer lab. The only computers in miles, the only computers within walking distance, the only computers for thousands of individuals. They told the story of how not too long ago, the local school system had finally received their first computers. And within 3 days, they were stolen, gone, not to be replenished. And you can begin to just imagine if you think this through. If you made it to the age 14, 16, 18, and you had never even touched a computer, how that would impact your job prospects. How that would have impacted your educational experience. You begin to understand that if you don't have a computer, a way to search for other jobs beyond what you can see in your area of extreme poverty, how the cycle just gets repeated again and again and again. So another bundle that we're giving to are computer labs. It's just a very real way to help other people in Jesus' name, to help children break out of poverty, to bring light in the darkness. Another little highlight I want to tell you, our third church we went to, this is a picture, they have this water center. And you might know the statistics that 800 children die daily from unsafe water. Maybe you want to tune me out for the rest of the sermon and just count 88 Mississippi. Every time you hit 88, that's a child died. A child who died. A child who died from unsafe water. And there are a lot of great organizations that are providing clean water, that are digging wells. But maybe you also know the stats about the number of wells. They're not dry. They're just broken because there's no system put up for maintenance or no funding available for repairs. The way Compassion does it, if you ever give to Water and Compassion, first of all, that well, that water site is on church property. Those church members are taught how to maintain and to repair, and the funding is there for whatever repairs are needed to keep it running. But this church, only been a Compassion partner for 5 years, but man, just what they were doing was amazing. I was with 20-some other pastors and Compassion reps, and we were just all like, wow, for what they were doing. If you sponsor a child, you know the part of sponsoring a child through Compassion are the regular health checkups. And through those regular health checkups, this church realized that just over 50% of the children had parasites in them from contaminated water. So with a grant from people like you, a grant from Compassion, they were able to put together this reverse osmosis filtration system. And not only just clean water for whenever kids are at the Compassion Center, but they can take these water home with them. They went beyond that for the local community. Anybody can come there and buy this water at half the price you could anywhere else. But then they take and they load up these jugs of clean water, and for free they deliver them to the local schools, the local police stations, the local medical clinic that they would call a hospital. Just doing all of that in Jesus' name and doing it in a way that just brings light into what can be an overly dark situation. Last night in Peru, a couple Compassion alumni, kids who had grown up through Compassion and were now adults, joined us at our hotel for dinner. And some of you met Daniel back here earlier this year, and he was presenting on how the difference that Compassion made for him and the apprenticeship and the education and the health and the food and the resources, what a difference it made. And these individuals that were doing dinner with us shared about what it was like for them to break out of poverty because of how Compassion leaned in and provide educational opportunities, these apprenticeship pieces. And that's one of our third bundles that you can give to. It's all about apprenticeship. It is helping them. And the beauty is this, every story that was shared, it isn't just breaking that individual out of poverty in Jesus' name. That individual has been able to go back and help their parents and their siblings break out of poverty as well. All because of Jesus followers like you and I and churches like you and I partnering with churches around the globe to bring light into darkness. And the prophet Isaiah, he called it. He said, Jesus will be the wonderful counselor. Jesus will bring wisdom, truth, and direction that we on our own could never come up with. So what does wonderful counselor mean? Literally translated, a wonder of a counselor. One who counsels amazing things. And we have to be careful because when we hear the word counselor, we often think, what, therapist? We think about, you know, we have this picture of lying on a couch and somebody asks us something like, tell me about your father, right? That is not the picture here. That's not the wording here. The wording for counselor would be better translated as advisor, guide, strategist. And the wisdom and direction and truth that Jesus provides us should make us want to go, wow, it's that powerful. It's that countercultural. Anne Lamott says it like this. She says, wow is often offered with a gasp, a sharp intake of breath when we can't think of another way to capture the sight of shocking beauty out of destruction, of a sudden unbidden insight or an unexpected flash of grace. Wow means that we are not dulled to wonder. We click into being fully present when we're stunned into things with that gasp. And talking and hearing God's plans should just make us go, wow, that's amazing. I never would have thought about that on my own. It's wow to see what God is doing, how he's bringing light into darkness. I think one of the amazing things about Jesus is he is the wonderful counselor, just not 2,000 years ago, it is today. And one of the radical things that he does is he brings his wonderful counsel through the local church. Apostle Paul says it like this in Ephesians. He says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church, people like you and I, to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And you and I, as followers of Jesus, followers of the wonderful counselor, seek his wisdom, his direction, his truth, knowing that his ways are better than our ways. And as he reveals his light, it makes us go, wow. This past Wednesday, I was meeting with a couple newer to our church, just trying to figure out if Crossroads is the right place for them or not. And I love talking about the church worldwide, and I love talking about our church. We're 200 plus years old, and there are so many things that make me go, wow, because this new light that the wonderful counselor brings continually brings change to us. One of the things that drew me to our denomination is its history of whenever they were exposed to new light. That's the way it was taught in my history class. Whenever we were exposed to new light by Jesus, by the wonderful counselor, we would make a change. And, you know, you might know our history that, well, there was a time, man, we only met in barns. The idea of meeting in a meeting house, a gathering room, a great room was just radical. But the wonderful counselor brought new light, and we have this great room upstairs that was our home for 190 years for our worship services. And you might know that we're an agricultural-based denomination, and there was a time where, you know, tobacco was our primary crop, and up in the great room in the worship service, there were spittoons. And the wonderful counselor brought new light. There's no more spittoons. You don't have them nearby anymore. And then radical things like indoor plumbing happened. seats on the wooden pews, new light, change, adjustments. That list goes on and on and on. 12 years ago, I was sitting upstairs in one of our children's room with the board and the bishop. I was being interviewed. And one of my questions was, I want to know your greatest strength as a church or your greatest weakness as a church. And on that weakness question, one by one by one by one, unanimous around the table was our greatest weakness is our children's ministry. We just can't get any traction. It just doesn't seem to want to go anywhere. So I sort of had my marching orders when I got here and just prayed like crazy to Jesus, the wonderful counselor, for what new light. And man, we did so many things. Orange philosophy, totally different way of looking at children's ministry. Totally changed the way that we did summer outreaches, not doing a VBS like every other church does, but doing something dramatically different. Doing outreach events like Jingle Jam, these things called FX, where kids bring their parents to learn. We say, parents, you can take a Sunday off from being down here and go upstairs. And then we just kept making space for them. Some of you remember, it was just 10 years ago, our kids were downstairs in what we now call a fellowship hall. In a cramped space with no HVAC, it smelled bad, it looked bad, let's be real. And we said, well, let's experiment with moving them upstairs. And they slowly just took over the entire upstairs, kicked me and the rest of the staff out of our offices. Beautiful things that happened, not because of what we know or what we did, but because of who Jesus is as the wonderful counselor. And as he brings new light and new direction, this church has a 200 plus year history of responding to new light, to making needed changes, to faithfully following Jesus. For you and I, the wonderful counselor, he's not going to provide us the direction of, you know what, guys? You need a computer lab. That's how you're going to reach your community. You know what, guys? You need a water purification plan. That's how you're going to make disciples. That's how you're going to reach your community. The wonderful counselor said, hey, Crossroads, you can't do it all. But you can lean in your resources of volunteers and finances. And you can be a place where young families have a safe place for their kids to come, to learn, to grow, to know about Jesus and to become his faithful followers. And you can partner with the parents as the primary disciple makers. That's something that we can do. We do it with our kids. We do it with our youth. Our great room upstairs. That same exact room where we used to worship. That same exact room where you couldn't have a pitch pipe, let alone a musical instrument. But then God brought new light. That same exact room where you used to be able to get married, but you couldn't wear makeup and you certainly couldn't have wedding bands. And then God brought new light as the wonderful counselor. That same room is now our largest gathering space for our students, our youth, and our children. It requires some much-needed TLC. So on your way in here, you should have received this. And it's just different ways. If you want to go above and beyond in your year-end giving, you're probably getting plenty of things in your physical mailbox and in your email. There's so many opportunities. And you might be saying, well, Doug, what do you want me to do with this? And you might say, well, it's pretty obvious. I want you to give. And the actual, absolute, real answer is no. I do not want you to give. This is all about above and beyond. Our general funds are primary. I don't want anybody sacrificing that. Some of you have no resources to go above and beyond. But what I want everybody to do, let me take one or two of these home, and I want you to put them somewhere where you'll see them on a daily basis. I don't know what you do. For Denise and I, we have the door that goes into our garage. That's where all the post-it notes go. Don't forget the salad. Don't forget this, you know, so we don't leave with what we need. Put it someplace you're going to see it every single day. And simply ask God, is this something you want me to be a part of? Is this something that you would like me to join in? Is this a way that you would love, as the wonderful counselor, for me to partner in bringing light into the darkness for me to partner with the great work that you're doing. So my request is that you pray. And my request is that we would all open ourselves up to the beauty, the wonder of God and of Christmas and of Jesus. May our hearts be renewed as we look expectantly to what he wants to continue to do in us and through us and all around us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, for those names that are so much more than names. We thank you for Jesus, the wonderful counselor, for the one who speaks truth into our life, that gives us ideas that are beyond what we could ever think of on our own, the way that you continue to bring and expose us to new light. So may we be found faithful again and again as we see opportunities to partner with you, see opportunities to bring light into darkness. May we just sit back and say, wow. God, I would have never thought about doing it that way. Wow. It's just amazing the way that you are transforming the world, bringing light into what looks like hopelessly dark situations. Wow. You use your church to bring your wisdom, your truth, your love, and your life to a hurting and broken world. Use broken and hurting people like me and everyone sitting here. All for your glory. All in steps to redeem your creation. All to draw people to you, their loving Heavenly Father. So we open ourselves up. What would you love to do in and through and around us this December, this Christmas season, Jesus? Speak clearly. We're listening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.